So today on the podcast, I wanted to create an episode regarding the events of Breonna Taylor. I know there are scheduled protests all around the country this weekend, and for me personally, I know that I was given information about Breonna Taylor that was not true, about the situation, what happened, the police officers involved, eyewitness testimony. None of this was given to me by my close family and friends. And I don't think they were trying to dissuade me on purpose. I think it was just, you know, it's like the telephone game of Cup, right? Where you like, someone's saying something into the cup with a string, and you can't hear because it's not a valid way to communicate information. So it gets jarbled. And then when somebody tries to say what they heard to somebody else, and I guess it's not a game of Cup. I was thinking of like the little cup things, but I digress. Anyway, Breonna Taylor, 26 years old, fatally shot in her home. I want to start by giving you a little bit of background of Breonna, who she was as a person. She worked for the University of Louisville Health as a full-time ER technician, as a former emergency medical technician. Her family says that they regularly spent time together. They often played her favorite card games, which were Phase 10 and Skip Bo, which I love Phase 10, so we definitely have something in common here. During March, when she was fatally shot, she was working, you know, as an EMT, and of course that was around the time that coronavirus was spreading like crazy, so I assume that she was pretty tired a lot. I mean, anybody in our healthcare system knows just how grueling this whole pandemic has been. Frequent volunteer in her community. She cared about people. That's why she was attracted to a career in healthcare. There was a Facebook post that she had made. She said, "Working in healthcare is so rewarding. It makes me feel so happy when I know I've made a difference in someone's life. I'm so appreciative of all the staff that helped my uncle through this difficult time and those that will continue to make a difference in his life." This was around the time, about a year ago, when her uncle was very sick. She had two best friends in high school. She went to the high school, Western High School in Louisville. They were called the Three Amigos. She just seemed like an amazing person, really smart, really empathetic. Friends and family just remember her being so caring, so thoughtful, which is unfortunately contrary to what many people have told me about this incident, and in saying that that one, she was the reason why the police were there. They were investigating whether or not she was a drug dealer. That wasn't true. Let's go ahead and look at the facts. Everything that I'm about to tell you is what we know of as of right now. What we know of to be true. I don't care what kind of news media outlet you follow. I am only going to state facts in this podcast. Contrary to what you've heard, it took a lot for me, honestly, to get out of my head what people were feeding me. So I'm just asking you, as I go through this, please have an open mind. Try to forget everything that you were told. I'm about to tell you what we know of to be factual at this point in time. Shortly after midnight on March the 13th, the Louisville police officers were executing a search warrant used, and they were using a battering ram to enter the apartment of Miss Taylor. The police had been investigating two men who were believed to be selling drugs out of a house that was far away from Breonna's house. They weren't even in close proximity to each other. A judge also signed a warrant, though, allowing the police to search Breonna's residence, because the police said that they believed one of the men had used her apartment to receive packages. Mrs. Taylor had been dating that man on and off for several years, but had recently severed ties with him, according to her family's lawyer. This counters another argument that I had heard, that her current boyfriend, was the one selling the drugs. He was not. This was involving a past relationship Brianna had with someone else who was no longer in her life, according to her family. Mrs. Taylor and her current boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, had been in bed, but got up as soon as they heard the loud banging at the door. Mr. Walker said that he and Mrs. Taylor both called out, asking who was at the door. Mr. Walker later said that told the police he feared it was Miss Taylor's ex-boyfriend trying to break in. So here's the situation, right? You're in bed, you hear a loud banging at your door, you call out, you ask who it is, they don't answer, according to the eyewitness testimony. What would you do? Especially if you had just been romantically involved in a relationship with somebody who was not the best, who was known to be aggressive, you would probably be scared. After the police broke the door off the hinges, Mr. Walker, Brianna's boyfriend, fired his gun once, striking a sergeant in the thigh. The police then responded by firing several shots, striking Miss Taylor 5 times. One of the 3 officers on the scene, Detective Brett Hankinson, who has since been fired, shot 10 rounds blindly into the apartment. He was actually outside on the patio and shot blindly through the screen door, or through the glass door, I'm sorry, while the blinds were shut. So he wasn't even seeing who he was shooting at. He could have been shooting at his fellow officers. He had no idea. He couldn't see. Mr. Walker then told investigators that Mrs. Taylor coughed and struggled to breathe for at least 5 minutes after she was shot. An ambulance was on standby at the apartment, but had been told to leave about an hour before the raid, counter to standard practice. It's usually standard practice to have an ambulance ready at the scene, just in case things go bad during a raid, but the police had told them to leave. As the officers called an ambulance back to the scene and struggled to render aid to their colleague, Mrs. Taylor was not given any medical attention. So while they were trying to help the officer who was shot by Mr. Walker, they allowed Brianna to just lay there. It was not until 12:47 a.m., about 5 minutes after the shooting, that emergency personnel realized she was seriously wounded after her boyfriend called 911. On the phone, we have a recording. It says, "I don't know what's happening. Someone kicked in the door and shot my girlfriend." So even at this point, Mr. Walker and Brianna are away from the police in the apartment. They're, I assume, in another room down the hall. They still don't know what's going on. Mrs. Taylor received no medical attention for more than 20 minutes after she was struck. She laid there for 20 minutes, bleeding out and dying. The Jefferson coroner told the journal that Mrs. Taylor had likely died less than a minute after she was shot and could not have been saved. While the department had received court approval for a no-knock entry, the orders were changed before the raid to knock and announce, meaning that the police had to identify themselves. So, while they were, yes, initially issued a no-knock warrant, 1 hour before the raid, their orders were changed to knock and announce, meaning, again, that the police had to identify themselves. The officers have said that they did announce themselves, but Mr. Walker said he did not hear anything. We also know that there is 12 eyewitnesses, who also did not hear the officers announce themselves. We do have one witness who has stated that they did hear the officers announce themselves, but there was only one that came forward to say that. No drugs were found in the apartment, and the alleged ex-boyfriend, Jamarcus Glover, you know, they... that's who they were investigating, right? whose alleged packages led the police to her door that night, was arrested August 27th in possession of drugs, according to a charging document. He told the Journal that Mrs. Taylor had no involvement in the drug trade. The police are trying to make it out to be my fault and turning the whole community out here, making it look like I brought this to Brianna's door, he said. The Louisville police say that they fired inside Miss Taylor's home only after they were fired upon by Mr. Walker, Miss Taylor's boyfriend. They said that Mr. Walker wounded one of the officers who was hit in the leg, but was expected to make a full recovery. Mr. Walker was subsequently charged with attempted murder of a police officer, though the charge was dismissed in May. The police also assert that they knocked several times and identified themselves as police officers with a warrant before entering the apartment. Mr. Walker said that he and Miss Taylor, heard aggressive banging at the door and asked who it was, but they did not hear an announcement that it was the police. The police said the officers forced entry into the exterior door and were immediately met with gunfire. The officers returned fire. So, let's look at the disputes. Ms. Taylor's relatives and their lawyers say that the police never identified themselves before entering, despite their claims. They also say Mr. Walker was licensed to carry a gun, which we now know is true. Mr. Walker was licensed to carry. They had a gun in the apartment. Mr. Walker has said that he had feared for his life and fired in self-defense, believing that somebody was trying to break into the home. He didn't know they were police officers and found no drugs in the apartment. Mr. Walker's lawyer said he was scared for his life and her life. In the 911 call just after the shots were fired, Mr. Walker told a dispatcher that somebody kicked in the door and shot my girlfriend. Again, this is when he had no idea what was going on. The police's incident report contained multiple errors. It listed Ms. Taylor's injuries as none, even though she had been shot several times, and indicated that officers had not forced their way into the apartment, though they used a battering ram to break it open. So in the police's incident report, we are looking at the multiple errors it contained. It said that Mrs. Taylor's injuries were listed as none, even though she had been shot several times. It indicated that the officers had not forced their way into the apartment, even though we know they used a battering ram to break down the door. Mrs. Taylor's family also said it was outrageous that the police felt it necessary to conduct the raid in the middle of the night. Their lawyers say the police had already located the main suspect in the investigation by the time they burst into the apartment, but they then proceeded to spray gunfire into the residence with a total disregard for the value of human life, according to the lawsuit filed by Mrs. Taylor's mother. There is no body cam footage from the raid, and for now, prosecutors have said that they have dismissed the charges against Mr. Walker, adding that they would let investigations into killing run their course before making any final decisions. Some legal experts said the fact that the prosecutors dropped charges after a grand jury indictment suggested that they may have doubts about the version of the events told by the police. So, we know that regardless of how you feel, of who was in the right and who was in the wrong, the reason that they were there was because of an investigation to do with another individual. Brianna was not involved whatsoever. We now know this from the person who was found guilty of said crime. We have 12 witnesses stating that they did not hear the police identify themselves before going into the apartment. And even with the 911 call that Mr. Walker had made, you know, it could have just as been easily for him to say, hey, the police ran into my apartment and shot my girlfriend. Why, in the recording, would he say, somebody broke in and shot us. I don't know what's going on. If he had known that it was the police who came into the apartment, why wouldn't he have said the police were here and shot my girlfriend? We know that there were no drugs found in the apartment. We see that the police used force to get into the apartment with the battering ram because the door was knocked down. There's been so much misinformation about this whole thing. I've been told, again, Brianna was the one selling the drugs. Her boyfriend was the one selling the drugs. The police calmly identified themselves at the door, but they were shot at, so they had to return fire. Completely ignoring the fact that they were the ones who actually broke in to the apartment. Why break in? Why, if you had knocked and identified yourselves and they were awake, because we now know that Brianna and her boyfriend were awake, why wouldn't they have just answered the door? The police never said that Mr. Walker just fired on them from the door. We would have seen bullet holes through the door. Do I believe that the officers involved just woke up that day and said, hey, we wanna shoot somebody today? No, I don't think so. I don't think they did that. But when you are in this kind of situation where anxiety is through the roof and you have a split second to react. But here's the thing. The police are the ones who did this to themselves, no matter how you cut it. They were told an hour before the raid that they had to knock and identify. The no-knock warrant was no longer in play at that point in time. I was never told that. I was never told that the no-knock warrant was no longer in effect before all this started. You could chalk it up to carelessness. You could chalk it up to them. But if we have to look at this as an isolated incident. I hate that the media has already started to compare this story to all of the other ones, right? When really, police brutality is a case-by-case basis. Nothing in this incident, while similar, is comparable to what has happened with previous cases involving the Black community and police brutality. If we start to look at each of these scenarios and truly start to look at the facts, I think we can start to move forward, have a dialogue, have a conversation about what we can do. We now know that you can no longer get a no-knock warrant in Louisville. But it wasn't in effect here. It didn't matter. It was that was gone an hour before the raid started. So even if there's a no-knock warrant, or even if they have to knock and identify themselves, they broke in the door. Why break in the door? Why not wait for a response? Why not? We now know the outcome of the grand jury. No officers have been indicted except the one that sprayed the bullets blindly into one of the other apartments through the drywall. We also know that the police flat out lied on the police report that they filed about the incident. Looking over the facts, it doesn't, I guess, seem as tricky to me. I was allowing what other people were saying about Brianna to get to me instead of myself really delving into this case and looking into it myself. And that's why I wanted to make this podcast episode. I wanted to get the facts out there. Regardless of where you fall on the political spectrum, I think a majority of people believe that there needs to be some kind of change with policing in the United States. People much smarter than me have put forth good provisions and training guides, and I believe they're changing the phrasing of defund the police to what are they calling it now? I don't remember, but why even change the phrasing? We know as Americans that the police have started to become militarized. And they're starting to get just out of control. I'm not saying we don't need police anymore. I'm not saying that at all. I do believe that there are certain cases where the police do not need to be involved, such as in mental health incidents involving somebody who has mental health issues. There have already been talks in certain communities of sending out licensed counselors to the affected areas to speak with the people. Police don't need to be involved in every aspect of society. They're there to serve a purpose, protect and serve. They did not protect and serve Brianna that night. Even if they were justified in returning the fire, breaking down the door, the fact that they allowed Brianna to sit there for 20 minutes bleeding out and not giving her any assistance, telling the ambulance to go away before the raid started. And her boyfriend had to be the one to call the police. He had to be the one to call the ambulance because he didn't know what was going on. Imagine it. You are woken up in the middle of the night to just loud banging. What would you do? Would you act calmly in that situation? Would you reach for your gun? Especially with the previous history of Brianna's aggressive boyfriend. Again, the facts that I've shared are just the things that we know of right now. I'm sure more information will come out as more things are released. But I am choosing to not be ignorant about these cases anymore. I'm choosing not to be ignorant about what happened to George Floyd, Trayvon Martin. I'm not going to take, first of all, I believe that the news has been doing a disservice covering these cases. The information that I received was from an independent journal, one that's not affiliated with CNN or Fox News, or because they have agendas, right? CNN wants to try and present the facts that show that the officers were at fault. Fox News wants to show news and information blaming it on Brianna or the situation. when we're looking at, again, at these cases, we have to be objective. We have to be, okay, what happened here? How would I have reacted here in a similar situation? Why did the police lie on their report? Why? We need to start asking ourselves these questions. We can't just take what people say anymore as truth or fact, because it's that game of telephone that I had mentioned at the beginning. It information gets swayed and pulled and stretched and to the point where you get it and to the point where you finally find out about it. It's distorted. For those of you who are going to be involved in the Breonna Taylor protests this weekend, please be safe. Please be careful. And please get yourself registered to vote. That is going to be the most important thing that you could do in 2020. If you want to see real, actual change occur, you have to vote. We can no longer just sit back and be silent. Protesting is a great thing. It's the initial response to when you're upset about something. You protest. But then you have to follow it up. You have to follow your action. You have to follow your words with action. We're close. We're close to November. Let me know in the comments below what you guys think about this. What were you told about Breonna Taylor? Did anything that I say, was that something that you had heard as well? Were you shocked by any of the facts that you had heard? I've been looking at a photo of Breonna throughout this whole recording process. And she really looks like somebody that I could have been friends with. Just the way she smiled and the way that she cares about others. She liked a lot of the things that I liked. I'm very much about helping people. That's why I want to pursue a career in acting. I want to make people laugh. I want to make people smile. And when you find somebody else who in the world who wants to do that just as much as you do, we lost a really great healthcare worker. We lost a great friend, a great daughter. She's 26, a year older than me. And her life is gone. So, please, if you start to hear any misinformation come from people that you know, don't hold it against them. They probably got it from somebody else. Set them straight. Give them the real facts in a loving way. Get them involved. Get them registered to vote. Get them to the polls. We can do this. Thank you for listening.